Let's open the Bible. If you'd like a Bible in your hands, there are Bibles on the stands at the back, and you are very welcome to borrow one and enjoy it during the sermon. In the book of Job, not the most obvious of Christmas readings, but we're going to do it, and you'll see why. Job, we'll start at the end of the book of Job, when Job's gone through all his sufferings, and now comes the end of the book. After Job had prayed for his friends, and the Lord made him prosperous again, and gave him twice as much as he had had before, all his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Kerenhappuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so he died, old and full of years. That's Job. I titled this Christmas in Uz, which is where Job came from, but as nobody really knows where that is. I retitled it Christmas in Jordan, because that's probably where Uz was, although it might have been in modern day the north of Saudi Arabia. It's in that region. It's not in Palestine. And so, the good news about Jesus comes to a Bedouin sheikh. Job was not a Jew. He's not a Hebrew. He's a wealthy livestock farmer. He's a Bedouin sheikh living in modern Jordan or Saudi Arabia. He is a wise man from the East. Another wise man from the East. Last week we took a long look at a very wise man from the East, Abraham. Came from Iraq, born in Iraq, modern day Iraq. Now we meet another wise man from the East, Job. If you turn to the beginning of the book of Job in chapter 1, it tells us a bit more about him. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice the burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. In fact, the book of Job is a very long poem. It's a wisdom poem, part of the wisdom literature, and very old. Some people think it's the oldest book in the Bible, in its form, final form. But we've really not a clue when it was written. Many think it was composed in King Solomon's time, but truthfully, we don't know when it was composed. But it's set around Abraham's time, probably, because Job is a priest to his family. In the same way that Abraham was to his, and Melchizedek was also a priest, although not a Hebrew at that time. So it's setting kind of, it seems to be set in that period. There's no mention of the law of Moses, and he lived long time like Abraham and Noah. So the setting, try and imagine it's set about Abraham's time, that's when the poem is set. His name, it mean is Job, it can mean one who suffers, one who's persecuted, or one who repents. It's not very clear. Yet the book is stunning. Victor Hugo, the great writer, said, "Tomorrow, if all literature was to be destroyed and it was left to me to retain one work only, I should save Job." Tennyson, the poet, wrote, "This is the greatest poem, whether of ancient or of modern literature." And its power was brought home to me a while back in a service when a young man, I'm going to call him John, that was not his, wasn't his real name, and John was a Bangor University graduate, part of our fellowship, and on graduating he went to work in Afghanistan in development and agricultural work. He's no longer in Afghanistan, but I thought I'd just still shroud his identity with the pseudonym. And John he explained to us, he chose not to live in the compound with the Westerners. If he was in Afghanistan, he wanted to live with the people. And he had a pretty good go at learning their language. He did very, very well. And he grew a beard and he went and lived in one of the villages. And he said that one of the things that he most appreciated was at night they would sit around a fire. No television, no radio. They would tell stories. And as his language got better and better, there came a moment when he got to the point where he could tell a story. And so he told them the story of a man called Job. A man who was the greatest man among all the people of the East. And he suffered. His cattle were stolen. His sheep were burned in a fire. His children were killed in an accident. His health collapses. His wife says, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job is left asking, "Why me?" And then as Job struggles to find God and to talk to God and ask for God's help, he suddenly has this vision of a redeemer, of somebody who will stand between him and God, somebody who will stand with outstretched arms, touching God and touching humanity. At this point, telling the story, John broke down in tears as he described telling this story to the Afghan villagers of Job's Redeemer. And you'll find Job's Redeemer in Job chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. When in the midst of the suffering, Job says this, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." He yearns for the Redeemer who will stand between him and God, the mediator, the Savior, with arms outstretched to welcome Job, to touch the face of God and to touch the face of Job and to bring them together in reconciliation. He knows that this Redeemer lives. This Bedouin sheikh who lives in the desert with his flocks and his family. This is Christmas in Uz, is it not? This is Christmas in Jordan. The Bedouin sheikh that knows it's not from earthly wisdom that his salvation will come. He is the wise man from the East. And so we get the idea of wisdom, and it's kind of mirrored in the New Testament. Job 5, verse 13, talks how God catches the wise in their craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are swept away. There's a wisdom, says Job, that's above earthly wisdom. Paul says the same in 1 Corinthians 3:19. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. The Apostle Paul quotes the Bedouin sheikh from Jordan. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that wonderful? Paul from Tarsus, the preacher of Jesus, quotes Job, the Bedouin sheikh, who had a vision of his Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ. The Bedouin sheikh knows that that when we are brought low, God will lift us up. Job 22, verse 29. When people are brought low, and you say, lift them up, then he will save the downcast. He knows his Redeemer lives. He knows there's one who will lift him from the dirt and set his feet on high in heaven. And that idea of being brought low and lifted up by God is reflected in the New Testament in the writers. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And in Matthew 5, verse 4, the Redeemer himself speaks, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The Bedouin sheikh sees Jesus, sees the humility and the glory in Jesus, sees how God deals with us. John 41, verse 11. Job 41, verse 11. Who has a claim against me that I must pay, says God? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. And that's picked up by Paul in Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depths of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. It's the same thought. The Bedouin sheikh, the sophisticated Jewish theologian, they say the same thing. It's all of grace. God owns everything. The Redeemer himself, Job's Redeemer, did come to earth and walk upon earth, and he quotes Job. Job 39, verse 30, he tells, does the eagle soar at your command and build his nest on high? He dwells on a cliff and stays there at night. A rocky crack is his stronghold. From there he seeks out his food. His eyes detect it from afar. His young ones feast on blood, and where the slain are, there is he. He's talking about the wonder of the natural world, how it reflects God's power in creation. And the young eagle, it could translate out as a vulture, by the way, the vulture or the eagle. And Jesus quotes it, Matthew 24, verses 24 to 28. So if anyone tells you, there is the Messiah out in the desert, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. The Redeemer quotes the Bedouin sheikh. The Apostle Paul quotes the Bedouin sheikh. Christmas begins in the deserts of Jordan and Saudi Arabia. And this kind of brought home to me as in one of Ray Steadman's sermons, because he goes back to this story, and goes back to Job chapter 42, verse 11. And he says, isn't it like Christmas? Isn't it like Christmas? Job seen his Redeemer. Job has been redeemed and restored. And what happens? All his brothers and sisters, everyone who had known Job, come and eat with him. They have a big feast. And Job gets double for everything that he once had. Somebody said, ah, yes, but he doesn't get double the children. And somebody said, yes, but on the day of the resurrection he did, or he will. So he gets twice of everything. And in verse 11, the family get together to celebrate Job's redemption. They eat together. There's sympathy and comfort. They nurse each other's wounds. And they say, Job, we've come to console you for all the trouble the Lord had brought upon you. And Job, at this point, the Bible doesn't really record, but I'm sure at this point Job says, no, you've got it wrong. God is always gracious to me. In God's presence I live, and as surely as God has blessed me, so will he bless me. I thought that God had brought all this trouble on me. I blame God. Like you, I was angry with God. But no, I've lost that. There is a Redeemer, my friends. There is a Redeemer. All my troubles have humbled me and brought me to God. And they exchange gifts. Isn't that Christmas? They give gifts. They exchange gifts. Matthew 1, verse 21. Says this, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which means Savior or Redeemer, because he will save his people from their sins. The Bedouin sheikh in the desert, thousands of years ago, saw the Redeemer. He saw Jesus. So yeah, I dare say, I tell you this, Christmas begins in Jordan. This morning we saw it begins in Egypt. Last week we saw it begins in Iraq, and it begins in the Garden of Eden. The story of Christmas does not happen in a vacuum, and it doesn't just happen in Palestine. It happens in the surrounding nations, and people who were not even Hebrews got to see there is a Redeemer. Let's bow our heads for a moment. If the band please would join me on the platform. Father, we want to thank you that there is a Redeemer, and that his name is Jesus, and that Christmas doesn't just happen in Bethlehem. Christmas was prophesied by all kinds of people. Bedouin sheikh, the man born in Iraq, the patriarch in Egypt. Jesus was foretold for hundreds and thousands of years. And we rejoice at this time of year. We rejoice with Job because our Redeemer certainly lives and is certainly powerful to save. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.